surprise jump for retail sales.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace Podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, hello, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update for Wednesday, the 13th of March. And the Commerce Department said today that retail sales were up by a better than expected 1.1% last month. That's despite higher gas prices and that payroll tax increase that went into effect at the beginning of the year. To find out what's going on, we're joined from Pittsburgh by Gus Fauché. He is senior economist with PNC Financial Services Group. Hi, Gus.
Good morning.
So what's your explanation for what's going on here?
It appears that consumers haven't been fazed by the increase in personal income and the Social Security payroll tax. They continue to spend. The gains were much better than we were expecting. It wasn't just higher gasoline prices. If we look at retail sales, excluding in autos and gas, those were up about 0.4% in February. That's a very solid number, and consumers appear to be in pretty good shape.
But we've been hearing for so long that if you raise taxes, any taxes on anybody, that they're going to spend less. So why didn't that happen with this payroll tax increase?
Well, you know, I'm a little surprised, to be honest with you. I did expect to see not a decline in retail sales, but at least slower growth. But it appears that households are pretty confident about the outlook. We're continuing to see good job gains. We're seeing a little bit higher, bigger paychecks, so people have a little bit more money to spend. And they're also benefiting from rising housing values.
Well, so I was going to ask you the next thing. I mean, is housing part of this? Because obviously when people's home goes up in value, they feel more confident, they're more willing to spend.
That's right. We're certainly seeing a rising what we call wealth effect, which is when your wealth goes up, you're a little bit more willing to spend. And don't forget, it's not just house prices. It's also stock prices. So we've had the big run-up in the stock market recently.
Right.
The value of people's 401k is higher. According to the Fed, we've seen household net worth surpass its pre-recession peak. So households are feeling wealthier, and I think that's contributing somewhat to the turnaround that we're seeing in consumer spending.
Gus Fauché, senior economist with PNC Financial Services Group. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, while we're talking retail, the world's biggest fashion retailer announced some strong earnings today. A Spanish company called Inditex reported a 22% jump in profits amid rapid expansion all around the world. Inditex owns Zara and several other popular brands. From the Marketplace European desk in London, Stephen Beard has the story.
Large does not necessarily mean unwieldy, and Inditex is the proof. The world's biggest clothing retailer is also one of the nimblest. It invented fast fashion. By manufacturing more than 50% of its products itself, the Inditex chain can respond quickly to changing tastes. Analyst Rahul Sharma of Neve Capital.
There's something new in stores almost every couple of weeks, which gives shoppers a reason to go back to those stores every couple of weeks. Makes it a very exciting place to shop, brings people in.
And in spite of recession in Europe and economic malaise elsewhere, the model seems to work pretty much everywhere from China to Russia to the US. Inditex now has 6,000 stores in 86 countries. A rare success story for Spain. The founder, Amancio Ortega, has just leapfrogged Warren Buffett as the world's third richest man. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
So if the Dow breaks another record today, it would be the seventh straight day, which is the longest streak of record breaking in more than 15 years. And while that sounds great, one man is not happy. That would be Alan Sloan, senior editor at large at Fortune Magazine. Hi, Alan.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, so everyone's focusing on how great the Dow is doing right now. You are focusing on the anniversary of the market bottom.
Right. And what we learned from this, because that's my nature.
You are very pessimistic today, Alan.
No, I'm just a student of history, and I've seen people stampede up. I've seen people stampede down.
Yep.
What I try to do is to be half a cycle out of phase.
Well, so what do you learn from looking back to the market bottom?
Well, one of the things I learned is that nothing is forever, because just over 4 years ago, the mood was suicidal. Warren Buffett had published an op-ed in the New York Times a little earlier saying, buy stocks, the market was crashing, people were making fun of him. I sucked up my gut and did something I almost never do, and right in December of 08, I said, well, if you've got a 5 or 7 year time horizon, it's hard to see how you can go wrong by buying the broad market. Hmm. The market keeps falling. So that's one of the things you learn by looking back at a time of euphoria and seeing the bottom.
So what is it that we can't seem to believe about the market rise? I mean, it has gone up significantly over the last several years.
Well, what happened, the market has, in fact, more than doubled from its bottom, which was on March 9th of 09. You know, people were scared, and who wouldn't be scared in this economy? One of the reasons things are different now is if you take somebody like me who's sort of old and I really should be investing for income, but there's nothing I can buy for income. I'm not buying any bonds, so I'm buying stocks for their dividends, which is something it never occurred to me I do, but I'm doing it, and I suspect millions of my fellow boomers are doing it as well. And that's one of the things that drives up the market. But, you know, when the economy is sort of fraught and shaky and stocks are going up, well, it's natural to be suspicious.
Alan Sloan, senior editor-at-large at Fortune magazine. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And finally, the Federal Trade Commission released some new guidelines yesterday that say advertisers must abide by the same rules for Twitter ads as they do for old-fashioned ads, meaning they have to use the fine print. They can't mislead consumers. So how might a 140-character ad work for a pharmaceutical product? Well, let's give it a try. Cymbalta can help. Call your doctor right away or seek emergency help if you have new or worsening depression symptoms, semicolon, unusual changes in behavior. Well, that's it. 140 right there. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.